This is Radio City Talk.
Footballing news, and let's head down to London. And James Bench from the London Evening Standard joins me. James, afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I want to start this before we start talking about the Morattas of this world and all the players that West Ham are buying, a la Everton. Let's talk about Everton. Giroud to Everton. Every single interview I've done with an Everton correspondent, ex-player, expert over the last 2 or 3 weeks, somebody has mentioned Olivia Giroud coming up to this part of the world. How likely is that from your perspective?
I think it's 50-50. I do think it's one that might well go until the end of the window. From my understanding on it a while back was that Giroud was quite keen to fight for a first-team place at Arsenal. And he's spoken to Arsene Wenger. He believes he'll get opportunities. I think if in the sort of first couple of games of the season he doesn't feel like he's getting anywhere, he might be more keen to move out. But he's very committed to Arsenal. He loves living in London. And I think the other thing that it might be, he might not be too keen to move his family at the moment. But if he doesn't think he's going to get the chance ahead of the World Cup, then I think Everton could be a possible destination. But look, if he does go on the market, there'll be other teams that make a play for him as well, Marseille and Lyon. And it might be that the French League appeals to him. So I think it's going to be really tough for Everton. And if it does happen, it might be one they have to wait a while on.
Well, listen, if you're talking to him, and I know you sit in press conferences with these guys all the time, tell him it's great up here. Tell him it's brilliant. Tell him not to worry about the moving and stuff. Listen, tell him that there's an Irish guy on the radio. He moved everything over from Ireland, and he flipping loves it, right? So you can tell Giroud that with some confidence, right? Well, we are talking about people coming from Arsenal potentially up this part of the world. Is Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain looking for a house up here?
No, I still don't entirely buy it. I think a lot of the stories that come out are a negotiating tactic from Oxlade-Chamberlain's camp. Although, look, there's a lot of things he would like to improve about his life in Arsenal. He wants to play as a central midfielder regularly. I think he's a bit worried about being shunted out as a wing back. I think the issue with Liverpool is that he just isn't good enough to get in a Liverpool starting lineup. So all the problems he's having at Arsenal, he'd be having the same ones at Liverpool. He'd struggle to get regular games. And again, it's World Cup year, isn't it? And Ox is one of those players who's kind of, if he has a good year, if he has an okay year, he'll probably get in the squad. But, you know, if he kind of falls out of contention at either club, he's got real problems getting into that gate squad.
But he needs a fresh. Does he not need a fresh start? Now, I'm not saying this from a Liverpool perspective, and I even mean this under Arsene Wenger. It feels like he needs a fresh start. It feels like he doesn't really ever get a run of things. Every time he gets fit, because he is partial to the odd injury, every time he gets fit, he's shunted out onto the right. He's never played in the middle of the park. And let's use Liverpool as part of this. Is he a boyhood Liverpool fan?
I'd have to check that. I'm not sure on that. I think you're right. Something needs to change with him. I think Arsenal still believes that can change at Arsenal. One of the things I would say, though, is you're right. He never has a sort of consistent position. But when he's fit and he's match sharp, Arsene Wenger will always give him chances. And so often he'll drop someone like a Theo Walcott to get Oxlade-Chamberlain in the team, even if it's not in Ox's preferred position. I mean, I do think that will play in his mind. Does he need a change? But it's another one I'm not expecting any sort of immediate movement on. The other thing is, I guess I'm not an expert here, but it doesn't seem like he's Liverpool's number one target. They seem so keen on Naby Keita. And I mean, just a much better player than Ox. And it sounds like Klopp is not the sort of person to settle for second best, which is what the Ox would be.
But then the conversations are happening sort of almost simultaneously. So if Keita doesn't come to Liverpool, and we believe there could be a third bid made for him in the next couple of hours, and if he doesn't come to Liverpool and the Ox is a possibility, do you think that's something that either party would be happy with?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I certainly agree that he's a possibility if Keita doesn't come true, and he's a cheap possibility, but Arsenal's still going to drive a hard bargain, even though he's only got a year on his contract. We've seen that with Sanchez, who they've been kind of quoting at 50 million, and that priced Bayern and Juventus out of that deal. I think Arsenal would probably look at sort of 30 million as a starting price for a sort of conversation on Oxlade-Chamberlain, which is a lot of money for someone who's been as inconsistent as him. I'm leaning towards him staying, but it is difficult, and I do think he could do really well under Jurgen Klopp. It's just he's got to ask himself the question, and footballers always say they're good enough to get into a team, but he's got to be honest with himself and think, am I good enough to get in that Liverpool team?
Yeah, I find it difficult that they're talking about Ross Barkley, 50 million, and then Oxlade-Chamberlain, only 25 million. I think it would be a bargain at 25 million. Anyway, let's have a quick chat about the aforementioned Ross Barkley and Spurs. I was just about to go and chat about those who are actually across the line, but what are the links there? How is that playing out? He is getting a groin operation. It is keeping him out for a month from what we're hearing. But as we said in this show earlier on in the week, will that groin operation mean that it'll be cleared up in time for a Spurs medical?
Yeah, I'm sure it would. At least from there, there's a principle there that all three parties agree that a transfer would work quite well. Spurs aren't going to go anywhere near £50 million for Ross Barkley. And Everton are going to have to kind of come down, I would think, quite a lot. On that sort of asking price if they want to do a deal with Spurs. The other thing is Ross Barkley, I think he's on sort of 60 to 80 grand at Everton. He's not going to get much of a pay rise, if any, if he goes to Tottenham. Their top earners are Kane and Lloris on about 100,000 a week, which obviously isn't bad money, but you know, compared to the team Spurs are competing with, it's not a huge amount. But Spurs want him. Everton, it seems, want to sell him. And Barkley, I would imagine, wants to go. I think he could be a really good long-term replacement for Moussa Dembélé. He's turned 30 now. So, yeah, I think it will happen, but I think there's still a lot of negotiation to go there.
My producer, Christian, scoffing at 100 grand a week. He wouldn't get out of bed for it, from what I'm looking at here. Right, let's talk about the ones that are coming into, let me see, Upton Park, or dare I say Upton Park. What is it, the Olympic Stadium of Light, of Beautifulness? What do they call it now?
Oh, we call it the London. Well, at the moment it's the Olympic Stadium. Once West Ham are back in, it's the London Stadium, because at the moment they're really struggling to get a sponsor. It was going to be called the Vodafone Arena or something, but that's fallen through.
Yeah, this is why I'm confused. Tell me, right? Fair play, gotta say, Slaven Bilic strikes me as one of those managers who really does care. He's not just going through the motions, right? Looks like Chicharito could be on his way to West Ham, and Nautovic to West Ham, and Joe Hart to West Ham. How are the Hammers fans dealing with this, and how close is Hernandez?
Hernandez will be done hopefully this week, possibly next. And the same with Arnautovic, really. I think he's due for a medical. He's having his medical today. That was the last I heard on that. So it looks like all their transfer business could be done, or the main bits of transfer business could be done by the end of next week, which is, I think, fantastic. And he's got exactly what he wanted. I think at the start of the window, he looked at that team and said, it needs pace, it needs power, and after last summer where they bought a lot of players who weren't good enough, he wants a few players with proven Premier League experience, and he's got all of that. I think not everyone is totally blown away by Joe Hart, just because it's been a rough couple of years for him, but I still think he's an absolutely outstanding shot stopper, which is what you need at a West Ham's level.
Better than Randolph? Now be careful what you say here, James Benge from the London Evening Standard. don't you be throwing out any disrespect to my fellow countryman. Much better than Randolph?
Yeah, he's still much better than Randolph, despite what you might think. I mean, Darren Randolph had some very good games, but he's one of those players who every once in a while Randolph will have a phenomenal game where he saves everything that goes near him, but just not often enough. Looks like Randolph will be off to Borough, and Adrian will be the number two. But yeah, I think the thing is, Joe Hart is just what West Ham need as well, a sort of vocal presence in the dressing room. He's English, and West Ham, I think, really like having English players. So yeah, I think it's a super steal, even for a season-long loan. I think it's an absolutely brilliant buy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he can sort of bounce back from... It wasn't a brilliant time in Italy. He had a few blunders. Now, don't get me wrong, there was a few cracking saves in there. And in the midst of that, he was superb for England as well. So it's kind of, you never know which Joe Hart's going to turn up. We will find out, I'm sure. Is Arsenal not being in the Champions League, is it inhibiting their ability to sign the big stars this summer?
Oh, it's inhibiting their ability to sign Alexis Sanchez. I think he was pretty clear last week he wants to play Champions League football. It still feels a bit like Arsenal might just hold him against his will and tough it out, because if you look at the money here, everyone says you're giving up £50 million not selling Sanchez, which is right, but you're almost certainly then giving up your chances of qualifying for the Champions League, which is about £50 million anyway. So I think that from their perspective financially, it almost makes sense to keep Sanchez. In terms of other players they're looking to buy, I don't think that the thing is, they're not in that much of a rush. A lot of it really depends on what happens with Sanchez. Thomas Lemar is the one they really want from Monaco, but there's a difficulty in knowing how much to offer for him. if you're keeping Sanchez, because then it might be difficult to even get him in the starting lineup. I wouldn't say it's the Champions League so much. I think the other thing that's inhibiting them is they're flying all around the world. I don't think any team's going to have ended up covering more air miles than Arsenal. I think they're in Beijing or Shanghai tomorrow to play Chelsea. So business has been quite quiet while they've been off on their tour. But I don't think there's much they need to do anyway. They need to just trim down the squad.
You don't think so? I'm just thinking, with the way they finished last season and a few hiccups throughout the way, another defender maybe? Good centre-half?
A good centre-half would help. And I know that they've looked at Van Dijk recently. But I think they really like Rob Holding. And I think they want to give him a lot of chances. He had a fantastic season last season. And he's only going to get better. They've also got Mertesacker come back after that fabulous game in the FA Cup final. I think they think he's worthy of more opportunities. Yeah, I agree. The challenge is that whoever they would want to add to a sort of back three would be very expensive, and Mustafi and Koscielny both look kind of settled in there. So I wouldn't surprise me if Arsenal don't sign anyone else before the end of the window. I think they'd like to, but I don't think they'll kind of throw money away to get anyone else in. As I said, there's so many players they have to get off the wage book. Wilshere, Lucas Perez, they'd like to get rid of Ospina. They've sold Chesney. I'm forgetting loads as well. Kieran Gibbs, Debussy, there's a lot of money in wages there. If you get them off, it kind of frees up money to be more ambitious with your transfer targets.
You're listening to Radio City Talk. I'm joined by James Bench from the London Evening Standard, touching on the links between Merseyside and London, a la Giroud to Everton, Oxlade-Chamberlain to Arsenal, etc., etc. But let's just focus on Chelsea, if we can, just for a couple of seconds. Morata, is he officially a Chelsea player yet?
It's getting really complicated now. I think they've got an agreement with Real Madrid, but they haven't kind of fully confirmed. He's not signed on the dotted line. But
Is he in London?
He's in London, yeah. Everyone's fascinated by his latest movements, what flight he's on, etc. Yeah, he landed yesterday. Medical today, I think.
Right. What type of money and what will he do for this Chelsea side? Because it's weird. It's kind of like Antonio Conte, you just won the league. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Costa's doing a great job for you. Be his friend. He'll keep scoring you the goals. You'll win the league again next year.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I think the reality is when you get two people as fiery as Conte and Costa in a team together, something like this was always going to happen. He said today that he basically made the decision to sell Costa in January. Well, you might remember Costa basically went on strike because he wasn't allowed to move to China, even though he didn't really want to move to China anyway. But I think it was the offer of $600,000 a week might have swung it for him. Yeah, Morata, 58 million, potentially rising to 70. Very good link striker. He's very good with the ball at his feet. An excellent finisher. My only concern, and I was saying this around the office, is that, you know, he's kind of come from playing as the first striker on off the bench at Real Madrid. So he's going to be coming on in the 70th minute against some teams that have just spent that much time defending against Bale, Ronaldo and Benzema. So you do wonder if chances probably are quite easy to come by there. But I think he's a really good buy. Chelsea still have a lot of business to do, though, because it's basically only him and Batshuayi up front. They're not very good at wing-back. So even though they're the champions, I think they feel like they need to buy a lot more players still.
Anything else happening across London? We'll touch on Crystal Palace, maybe even Watford. Anything big to be talking about?
Nothing big from either team. Crystal Palace are going about things very smartly. Jaira Riedewald from Ajax looks like he'll join soon. And I really like Watford's business as well, actually. They've brought in a lot of young English players. Shalaba from Chelsea at £5 million. Considering how much you have to pay for some other English talent, that's an absolute snip. And Will Hughes from Derby. So the London teams are going about their business really well this summer, except Spurs, who just aren't really doing anything.
They don't really need anyone. Spurs are going to win the league next year. Mark my words, an absolutely amazing squad once they gel together. Just a year in there, Christian Benteke from Crystal Palace to Everton. We heard it whispered in the last couple of days. Not going to happen, is it?
I don't think so. I think it would be a good move for Everton. I guess he's probably not their first choice and they'd be more keen on Giroud. Benteke said today, though, he's not. He doesn't want to leave. I guess maybe he doesn't have very good memories of living in Liverpool either.
That's just what we said. Listen, James Bench from the London Evening Standard, thank you very much. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the beautiful London weather and we'll check in with you again as the transfer window continues to develop. We'll see if there's any more links between Merseyside and London. And indeed, if you have any in your head you want me to ask James about the next time he's on, at Connor Phillips at Radio City.
This is Radio City Talk.